Isdaf is Daf Tes, and yesterday we just learned the two different Lashonos of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. One was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Aliba Da'at Atzmo, and one was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Aliba Rabbi Akiva. In the first Lashon, the Gemara seemed to have come out to say that actually between Alois HaShachar and Netzachama is actually Din Laila, except that it's possible to be Yotzei Kriya Shema at night in the sense of being an astronomical night, because as far as Kriya Shema is concerned, we go out in Zman Kima, and therefore you could read Kriyachar Alois HaShachar, you could read Kriya Shema Shel Nachus. The second Lashon of Rabbi Akiva was that we were coming out saying that actually astronomically we're talking about Yom between the time of Netzachama and Alot HaShachar Netzachama. The only reason you can be Yotzi Kriya Shema Shel Laila is because there's still people sleeping during that hour. Now, on the surface, the two sugyas are opposite each other, which creates problems, because if we hold that, as Tosfos points out, Rabbi Akiva actually contradicts himself, because we'll see later on Rabbi Akiva holds in the Mishnah it's coming at Mishiyakir Bein Achamor La'arod and so on. Mashmah you can read before. In any event, there are many Rishonim who learn, including the Ramban and the Rush as well, many Rishonim who learn that the two brisos are not really contradictory, and that there's a zman between Alos HaShachar and Netzachama that has a halacha of being suitable for Kriyat Shema, because there are people that are getting up. And there, I think you're sitting in a different seat.
No.
Then he's sitting in a different seat in the monitor.
No,
it's not. Okay. Scott. Ah, Scott's away from me. Yeah, so according to this, the question is, and this is what made Tosfos, this was about forced Tosfos to learn that it was a sugya that was actually arguing with the previous sugya. It's very difficult to get going this way. I find myself talking to no one. Thank you, yes. I'll try to stall.
I'm sure.
Very difficult. It's okay.
That's
right, that's sure. Our sugya. But there's also, it's very interesting, we spoke about this in when we were doing Kutchim still, that the Isha Habayit, it said we used to come approximately. Lefamim Bismechem, Lefamim Machrechem, you've got to keep them on their toes.
It's like a wedding in Israel.
So, well, now that Barnea's here, I think for sure we could start. I'm sorry?
Prize waiting right outside the door.
Really? Is that exactly what's
going on?
Let's see. Maybe we should just start all over again. And I hope he's okay. No, no. I hope he's all right. I didn't see him this morning. In any event, Rabbi Yisrael, what forces Tosfos into this holding that this is two separate sugyas is because if Lomaisa, the Zman Kriyat Shema, is suitable to say, Bein Bayom, Bein Bayom, between Alot HaShachar and Netzachama, then why would the Gemara, the Braitot over here, tell us a big chiddush that sometimes a person can read Zman Kriyat Shema Pamayim Biyom or Pamayim Balayla and Biyotzi. And it turns out that each one of those braitot takes on a point before or after and in the middle. So in other words, either before Alot HaShachar to before Netzachokavim but after Alot HaShachar, or before Netzachama but after Netzachama. But nobody says the tremendous chiddush of you can read Zman Kriyat, you can read Kriyat Shema two times in the same period between Alot HaShachar and Netzachama and Biyote Yom HaLaila, which is a much bigger Kiddush. So clearly the Ramban and the Rush and the Rif are all wrong, because how could they say that that time is actually a time that's suitable for both? You can certainly see how Pipashtas, we would want to say, that the Braitot are actually Chalukot. So Tosfos himself suggests that maybe there's a way out of that. But it could be that it wants to tell us Bedavka, according to the way he's learning, that you won't be Yotze B'Shalayla Le'achar HaNeitz. But that's only in the second one. I want to know that Chiddush. In any event, the way out of this is very clear. And that is that those Rishonim will hold that there's no Chalukah between these two Rishonim, in terms of the din between Alos HaShachar and Netzachama, they'll hold that you can choose either Zman Kim or Zman Shechiva, but you can't read one next to each other during the same period. So there needs to be some line. Either the line is Alot HaShachar, in which case if you read before you were Yotzei Shel Arvit, and if you read afterwards you can be Yotzei Shel Kriyat Shema Shel Boker. Or the line is afterwards Netzachama, which if you read afterwards that'll be your Kriyat Shema Shel Boker. But you could be Yotzei if you're Mechavin to be reading Balaylo. It's fascinating. It comes out that your intent is the determining factor. Are you in the process of Shchivar Kima, so to speak, as far as your way of looking at the world is concerned? And we pointed out earlier that the concept of Shchivar Kima is essentially a social construct, but because the entire sugya, the entire Seder, is based on the view of the idea of Emunah, so it by definition is built around such constructs. That's how they would look. There'd be no machlokas between them. The Shaila that comes out over here, if you hold it, there's no Chalukah, is why does it say Le'olam Yamama, Le'olam Laila? I mean, that's obviously, it's two different things. Le'olam Yamama, and vis-a-vis other mitzvot, we would say, has a yom. saying Lolam Laila, and he's saying vis-a-vis other mitzvah that has a din of Laila. There's many, many approaches to that sugya, which I think it probably will be good to review briefly in our halachic review on Friday, Bezrat Hashem. But basically, Amitosis himself here plays with the question of what does Yomama mean in terms of all other mitzvahs, but it's a Laila in terms of Kriyat Shema, which doesn't really make all that much sense, because we don't use the word Laila to define Kriyat Shema in terms of Shiva Vakima under the circumstances. But again, this we'll speak of later. In this continues the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Ubevat Shelo Yomar Hashkivenu. Now certainly, the Pashtut of the Sugya implies that we're continuing on from the last thing that we said. In other words, in this last case, where you read, Kodem Netzach Amar, but after Alot HaShachar, you certainly can't say Hashkivenu, because everybody's getting up. You're not going to say, now is the time in which we will go to sleep.
We just call it since our people are going to sleep,
There's two ways of understanding this. Rashi learns, not the way that I just said. The way that I just said is the Sarmikut, his pshat, which Tosfos holds is the most reasonable, because why would we suddenly be going back to the first version of the Braita and say that it's talking about that if somebody was reading, as Rashi says, in a case, HaKor Kriyat Shema Shalayla Samuch LaAmud HaShachar Lo Yomar HaShkivenu. Understand? It's the Laila. Dynastosis, what does that mean? Why not? So you're reading, that's the first. In the first case, you were reading one before Alos HaShachar for Laila, and one LaYachar Alos HaShachar for Kriyat Shema Shachar. So you're telling me if it's near Alos HaShachar, you cannot say HaShkivenu. Why can't you say HaShkivenu? It's outrageous. I mean, we're drawing now a new line. But according to that pshat, and this is the response to David, according to that pshat, it would mean that Rashi understands Hashkivenu as put us to bed, not allow us to sleep. So we say, Hashkiv HaTinok. It means putting to sleep. So they're not going to say, Hashkivenu, I'm going to bed now at 5 o'clock in the morning. And the normal people don't go to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. They wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So the fact that you want to go to bed, you can't be Koveya Brocha to say Hashkivenu. Hashenken, according to Tosis, according to Sarmi Kutzi. So then the concept of Hashkivenu is, as David assumed, directly parallel to the question of what Zman Shchiva is. If Zman Shchiva means, as long as I am asleep, Hashkivenu doesn't mean put me to bed. Hashkivenu means allow us to sleep in peace. Shemer us during the course of our sleeping. In which case, how can you arbitrarily decide that Lagabe, the din of Zman Shchiva, it's considered to be a time for Hashkivenu? But to say Hashkivenu, it's not a time for that. Doesn't make any sense. So Bishleim to say between the time of Alos HaShachar and Netzach Amal Bevachel Yomar Hashkivenu, that's because even dealing with social norms, you have just as many people getting up as you have going to sleep, if not more, in that hour. Therefore, it's unreasonable to say that we could have a bracha that's miyuchad even for Zman Shchiva. No, the fact that you are mechaving that it should be Zman Shchiva and you could be Yotzi, we'll let you get away with that. But certainly not going to be Koveya bracha on it. Okay, this is now a machlokas, how to understand the bracha of Hashkivenu. It's a completely different kavona. But this, again, these are social norms. They're not the particular das of this individual. Except in that penumbrous period, which is between Alois HaShachar and Netzach Amar, if you hold like those Rishonim. Otherwise, there too, it's a psak one way or the other, depending which writer you hold up. The truth is, Yatar of Yitzhak by Yosef Omar, this psak that we've been saying, Ravachab Rebbe Chanin, Amar Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, Halokik Rebbe Shimon, he keeps saying, whether it was Halokik Rebbe Shimon, Shamar Mishim Rebbe Akiva, he never really said it. We derived it in the context of something else that he said, because it was a maaseh, where Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was marrying off his son. A couple of guys from the yeshiva got dead drunk in the wedding, and they got so drunk they didn't say Kriyat Shema b'chlal. So then they came to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi to ask him whether they're allowed to say Kriyat Shema. It was already now after Alois HaShachar. So what happened was, the Ahuzuka, the Rabbanan, the Shtakar, the Yulula, the Vrei, to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, out to the Kami, to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and he said to them, you know, Kedayu Rabbi Shimon, l'smoch alav b'sha'atatcha. You can be soimach on Rabbi Shimon and read even now after Alois HaShachar. So in other words, it's shayach that he yotzi Kriyat Shema shalayla, like Rabbi Shimon. In which case, we derive the fact that he holds the halacha, you could be soimach on Rabbi Shimon. And the question is, if he's saying b'sha'atatcha, especially, we didn't hold it's the halacha. It's an emergency. Different approaches to this as well, which we'll review on Friday. Some learn Rabbi Shimon himself only said it b'shasatcha. So therefore, if you're in a matzah b'shasatcha, it doesn't mean what it normally means. Look, if you're really desperate, rely on Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon himself holds tefillah l'chatchila, but at least you are in such a matzah, rely on Rabbi Shimon. No, that's exactly the psak of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said that b'shasatcha. If you're in a matzah where you didn't read it before, you can view this as a type of shkivat. Continues the Mishnah now, and this is a similar situation, except that we pointed out that when we read the Mishnah, that the story of the children of Rabbi Gamliel, it's not clear whether they came from a nightclub or they came from a wedding. Because in the Maaser of Yeshua ben Levi, over there, you can say that they're in a matzah of anusim. Somebody goes to a nightclub and gets drunk is not considered considered to be an onus in terms of the halacha. Someone who's being asik b'mitzvah, being the sameh chasim v'kala, and he went a little too far. So such a person you can call an onus. And that's the question. How do we understand really the Mishnah? That was a machlokas rishonim, which we'll review again now. But first, let's just see what's happening. The children of Rebbe Gamliel,
much earlier than the Peter's.
And not only that, I mean, they obviously, I mean, they hadn't for the first time thought of maybe learning from their father the first Mishnah Brachos, no? I mean, the stomach, he had taught them when they were kids. But so you're telling me it's the first time they asked Daddy, when are we allowed to read Kriya Shma? That's absolutely outrageous. So, Yad HaShelo Shemielu Adar Rebbe Gamliel, what does that mean? They never knew what their father held about Zman Kriya Shma. Everybody else in the world knows, only they didn't know. The shoemaker's children here. So, no, the point is, like, of course they knew. But the question is, they wanted to know, do they have the right to rely on their father's opinion? Because, I mean, after all, I mean, the Abbe Yochid for Rabbi and the Lachar for Rabbi. So their question was like this. There's two ways of understanding the Rabbanan, obviously. One way of understanding the Rabbanan, the Mishnah Seyat Chatzot, is that the Rabbanan basically agree with Rabbi Eliezer's approach. That when it says, B'shol B'chov Kumecha, it means the time that you are going to sleep, not the time that you're sleeping. The machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachomim is in what defines that time. Hatzot Hashmara Rishona. Or even until midnight, people are still going to sleep. But as far as your opinion is concerned, nobody agrees with you that it's until Alois HaShachar, in which case, what are we going to be saying on you? We have to follow the Rabbin. Or, the other way of understanding the Rabbanan, the way we've been looking at it, that actually, in terms of the theory, the Rabbanan agree with Rebbe Gamliel, and that really the Zman Shechiva is as long as you are asleep. That's until Alois HaShachar, at least. We see the Lashon Rebbe Shimon and beyond. And the question is that they said, we made a takana. So they asked their father, Rabbanan, pligelu. Are the Rabbanan arguing fundamentally on your approach to B'shol B'chol? In which case, we cannot rely on your opinion. Because Yachid V'Rabim Alachak Rabim. Odioma Rabbanan Kavatech Svirlo. Maybe actually the Rabbanan in theory agree with you that their time is until Alot HaShach. V'haydi Kamri. So all that they were saying was the Chatzchila. But now that it's Bidiyavad, we should be able to read. And he answered them, you should know that the Rabbanan, Kavati Sviralu, the Rabbanan actually agree with me. So now, there's two ways, as we mentioned in the Mishnah, of understanding this. Does this mean that according to Rabbi Gamliel, there's no din of reading Lechatchila at Chatzot? In other words, when he says that Kol Ma'asham L'Chachomim and so on and so forth, he disagreed b'chlal with the Takonah at Chatzot? Or, and this is the Rabbeinu Yonis, everybody agrees that there's a Takonah at Chatzot. He as well. The difference is that according to Chachomim, they were mafkia, the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema after Chatzot. So that even if you read Kriyat Shema after Chatzot, you won't be Yotze. Makes no sense to say Birkat Kriyat Shema. And therefore, they're asking him, I mean, so is there a point? If which case, what does Man Kriyat Shema is? In which case, you want to read, you can read. Nobody's stopping you from reading. But we're telling you this is the mitzvah. But that's not Zman Kriyat Shema. Zman Kriyat Shema is defined by the Rabban. And there would be no Gei the Brocha. So therefore, they're asking him, so how do we proceed? So what's he answering them then? According to this, doesn't make any sense. So he's telling them they actually agree with me. Yes, we're all, even if they agree with you. But they made a takoma. So now how can we listen to you? So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the answer that the Father is giving them is because of the fact that you are anusim. So since you're anusim, they never made this takona. But for a normal person who wouldn't have read, there'd be no point in reading now. So that would mean that there's two ways of understanding the Mishnah. If you read it the way that Rabbeinu Yonah is understanding it, the Bach learns that the Rambam also sees the Mishnah this way, for good reason. Rashi as well says the case over here is because you are anusim. And we'll have to understand the mitzvah of the Rabbi Gamliel as being similar to the case of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. In other words, they're anusim. They have a din of anusim. The Rabbanan didn't make a takona in a mokum of an onus. So this was their question. Do the Rabbanan disagree with you fundamentally, that it's not even Zman Kriyat Shema D'Oraita, or is it just the Takona that there's no Zman Kriyat Shema then, but in case of an onus, you would be allowed to read? And he answers them, they agree with me fundamentally, since this is a unique situation, even according to them, obviously you don't believe in my pshat. Good, I understand. But here the Rabbanan would also allow you to read. Not because that's not the Zman Kriyat Shema D'Oraita. Now, again, there's two very different ways of understanding this point. If we learn that according to Rabbi Gamliel there was a takona at Chatzot as well, then the Gemara has to be asking the following question. Does Rabbi Gamliel then agree with the Chachamim that there's a takona at Chatzot? I mean, he's the one who said there isn't. So what is he telling his children? And you should know, this is not the only place where, in a case where you would be an honest, you'd be able to act differently than what the Iker Chiyav is. What do you mean? You don't even agree that that's the Iker Chiyav. Again, if you're learning as those who argue on Rabbeinu Yonah's approach, Rabbi Gamliel indeed doesn't hold that there's a din of Chatzot at all. So when we pass it halakha k'Rabbi Gamliel, as we did, it would mean that you can read the Chachila until the morning. And there would be no Indian of reading at Chatzot. By the way, since the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Gamliel, and all the other terms, and yet he still says that there's a mitzvah to read at Chatzot, Rashi doesn't hold like that. That's why the Bach concludes that he holds like Rabbi Elyonis Pshat. So then the Gemara's question is simple. The Gemara's question is, Rabbi Gamliel doesn't hold at Chatzot, so what's he explaining to his children? You should know that at Chatzot was just the Rabbanan. I don't even agree that there's such a thing. Or we could say at Chatzot, meaning that we were koveya, that that's the Zman, and therefore we can't do it afterwards. Such as the Gabi Akhilas Kachim. It's usher to eat afterwards. So that doesn't, remember that we explained in the Mishnah, that doesn't prove anything though. Because by Kachim, you can come to the Yisr. So over there, the Takonah of Al-Khatsos is prohibited. To say that by Kriyat Shema, therefore the Takonah Al-Khatsos would mean to say that you can't read Kriyat Shema after Khatsos, in terms of being Yotze, doesn't follow necessarily. So those were all of the issues we discussed in the Mishnah. I'm just reminding you again, because here in the Sugya, it's Nogea how particularly to read these words. So ask the Gemara, he didn't even say Al-Khatsos. So why is he explaining Al-Khatsos? Why is he saying, well, not only this, not even this. No, yeah. His children asked him, who do we follow? And he says to them, look, even Rabbanan who said at Chatzot, they didn't really mean that at Chatzot is the Zman, but afil Rabbanan de Ka'amri at Chatzot, not as I hold, mitzvatah chiyale amud ha-shachar. V'ho de Ka'amri at Chatzot k'del al-chik adam en aviram. And then we read all of the cases. So fine, hekter chalavim and achilat kodshim. Notice it doesn't say anything about eating the Korban Pesach, which would then follow eating your afikomen, l'chora. Why does it talk about that? So, achilat psachim lo katan. But that's funny, because the Braita actually does. The Braita says, Kriyat Shema Arvit, V'halel V'leilei Psachim, V'achilat Pesach, Mitzvatan Achiyala Amuda Shachar. So you could use this as an example. Mitzvatan Achiyala Amuda Shachar, and the Chachomim were Koveh Atchatzot. I'm Rav Yosef, no, look at my, you know that there's a machlokus about this issue. Lokash, or Rav Elazar ben Azarya, or Rabbi Akiva, remember that, leave it to Rav Elazar ben Azarya. Atchatzot is min yoraita. Atchatzot is pshat. This is a Hachokim and a Rabbanan. Atchatzot. These aren't the same thing. Don't forget, if you hold Ad HaBoker, you're still agreeing it's Ad Chatzot, like Rebbe Elazar ben Azarya. Rebbe Elazar ben Azarya says the Pesach holds Ad Chatzot. Rebbe Akiva holds it's Ad HaLotzei Shabbat. I can start bringing that as an example. The time. V'yachlu et ha-basar ba-layla hazeh. So Rebbe Elazar ben Azarya says, okay, what's this Laila Hazeh business? I mean, obviously, what else? New Year's Eve. So the pshat is, therefore, it says Laila Hazeh ben Ogea, the Zman of Achila, but you'll notice by Makat B'chorot, he uses exactly the same motion, Vavarti Beretz Mitzrayim Ba-Laila Hazeh. That's clearly the import of Laila Hazeh. Mala Alan Ad Chatzot, when was Makat B'chorot? Chatzot, exactly. Not a moment after. So Afkan Ad Chatzot. That is Rebbe Akiva. So according to this, what would be the din? Me'ikra Allah, the Torah says you can only eat until Chatzot, right? Obviously, can't bring this example in the Mishnah. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, look, that's mufrach from the etzem discussion in the Torah itself. The Torah says that you're supposed to eat it v'achaltem oto b'chipazon. So what's the pshat b'chipazon? When were you in a hurry? Before Chatzot, you weren't allowed to walk out the front door. Araboker, you should say mipetach beito araboker. So what are you in a rush for? Ela the pshat is, must be, in a rush to get out of Mitzrayim, which was only allowed immediately at daybreak. In which case, obviously, you're eating it until daybreak. Otherwise, what's the point of eating b'chipazon? So im kein matam ad lomar ba'layla. So it says Rabbi Akiva. I do agree, however, that halayla, that the word halayla, that certainly implies like you're saying. But I want to explain to you what it means. It means to tell me that your carbon pesach is not like a regular carbon. If you shech the regular carbon during the day, which obviously you have to do for your carbon pesach, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You brought your carbon pesach. So you say, okay, let's start eating. I mean, you don't want me to wait like those crazy Jews wait until they finish that all the whole business, and by that time, I mean, I'm dying already. So I'll start eating at 3:30 after my shechitas pesach, like I would anything else. That would be the case if it were a shlomim. So yochu yeinecha kekodeshim liyom. Talmud lomar balayla. That's why I have to say balayla. That balayla hu neechal velo gayom. Okay, but remember that doesn't explain the hazeh. That just explains balayla. It could have said lachalta b'to balayla. So bishleim according to Rebbe Elazar ben Azarya, he holds that that's the whole issue here is the balayla hazeh that I'm learning it out of Bechor. So if that's the case, yitzchak lemichta balayla hazeh. Obviously, you need the word hazeh because that's the point according to him. But according to Rabbi Akiva, why mention hazeh? If you're telling me it's a din in night, say night. I mean, obviously, it's this night. What other night would you think? So, Rabbi Akiva, what's the point of saying this night as opposed to which night? Ah, says Rabbi Akiva. I'll tell you as opposed to which night, as opposed to tomorrow night. Because if you think about it, you would have possibly concluded like this. It's coming to tell me not to eat it tomorrow night. Because the Pesach is basically, fundamentally, it's a Korban Shlomim. As a matter of fact, it's so much Korban Shlomim that if you don't bring it as a Pesach, it actually turns into a Shlomim. You bring it as a Shlomim some other time. So if a Pesach has a Kachim Kalim, a Shlomim is a Kachim Kalim. So what's the name of a Shlomim? You eat it for for 2 days and the night in between. Now, over here, the Torah says, no, you can't eat it in the day. You have to start the Zman HaKriba Balayla. So I say, fine, you know what? In the same way I eat the Shlomim. Same way I eat the Shlomim for 2 days with the night in between. I'll eat this one for 2 nights. Of course, I can't eat it in the day because the Torah says, don't eat in the day. But that would be its equivalent, Zman HaKriba. So, Mashlamim Ne'echalim, L'Shnei Yamim V'Layla Echad, Av Pesach Ne'echal Shtei Leilot V'Mokam HaShtei Yamim. In which case, v'yei ne'echal shtei leilot v'yom echad. Theoretically, kamashman b'layla hazeh, therefore I need to know, even though I'm telling you layla, I don't only mean wait until the night.
I don't only mean.
Mean. As vicious, as in waking Richie's up and so on. Mean. So I don't only mean to eat it only at night, I also mean to eat it only this night. There's two issues that are involved here. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that? I mean, any 2-year-old can read a pasuk. It says, Lo totiru mimenu ad boker. Don't leave it till the morning. So I need Rabbi Akiva's brilliant drasha to tell me, well, but then you can eat it the next night. Except the Torah says, don't leave it till the morning. If you leave it till the morning, it has to be burned. So how exactly am I going to eat it on the second night if I'm going to have to burn it the morning before? Explain to me. It was already also asnaisa. So Lo totiru ad boker. Rabbi Akiva says, well, wait, it doesn't say which morning now, does it? It says till the morning. Maybe the morning is the second morning. I mean, the morning is whatever morning after the night that you weren't able to eat it, that you were able to eat it. So if I eat it the second night, then clearly the morning is meant to refer to the second and the second night. And to that, Rabbi Elazar says, that is absolutely crazy. Every time it says till the morning, it means that morning. You're going to tell me if it wouldn't be for this podcast, I would have said the morning means some other morning. How could that be? Kol boker boker rishon. Of course, even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you cannot really burn noser in the first morning, which is fascinating. Because ein sarfim kachim miyontif. So anyway, it doesn't mean really the next morning. In terms of noser mimeno ad boker, basically throw. Nonetheless, the lototiro mimeno ad boker, which isn't nogea some other issue, such as malachas yontif, always means boker rishon. Now, the Tanoim, the Machlokas we just had over here between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva, Hani Tanoi ka Hani Tanoi, is the same as a Machloket, which wasn't based on these psukim, namely of Halayla Hazer or Ad Boker, the way we were learning here, but rather was based on an analysis of another pasuk. Sorry?
You said that you can't burn it on Yom Tov. What could you do to make it left over?
Well, you could make it into a modern art display, I suppose, and charge admission, which is what a lot of people do, things like that. That would be one good thing to do. No, this particular case as well. I mean, you could sell the tickets before Pesach. That way it wouldn't be a problem. I don't know. Anybody have any better ideas? There's always a Jewish way to make money. Come on, let's try to come up with something. You know, if you come up with a better idea, it's also good. There's nothing to do. I mean, you're certainly not going to waste time, are you? Fine. Now, the machlokas that they have is the following brayse. The pasuk says what appears to be 3 separate times. Because it says, Tizbach et ha-Pesach ba'orev, which is ba'orev, we know when that is. That's evening time. You know, it's still daylight. It's towards the evening. In other words, after chatzot. And then it continues on to say, Kibo HaShemesh. Kibo HaShemesh means after sunset. And then it says, Moed Tzitzchad Mitzrayim. Moed Tzitzchad Mitzrayim was the morning. We didn't go out of Mitzrayim in the night. So the pasuk contradicts itself now. It gives 3 different times and says that's the time to take care of your Korban Pesach. What does that mean? Shom Tizbachat HaPasach Be'erev, Kibo HaShemesh, Moed Tzitzchad Mitzrayim. Now which one do you mean? Okay, so Rebbe Eliezer says, Be'erev means... So V'yasita Pesach, over there, Tizbachat HaPesach, that's Asiyav Zvicha, is Be'erev. After Chatzot, you do the Shchita. Kivo HaShemesh, after sunset, Ata Ochel, that's when you eat the Pesach. Moed Tzitcha Mimitzrayim, Ata Soret, and then you eat until Chatzot, and you keep the meat around till the morning, and you burn it, actually the second morning. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, no. Be'erev Ata Zoveach, yes, after Chatzot. Kivo HaShemesh, yes, Ata Ochel. But the meaning of the reference to Moed Tzitcha Mimitzrayim is... The ad matay ata ochel v'olek, how long can you continue to eat? Moed Tzitcha Mitzrayim. And then, baboker beit tisrofu. So there's basically 4 periods, 4 times that we're given. Shchita time, achila time, begin, achila time, end, and sreifa time, which is baboker. So now here we have the machlokas. If we have 2 points of reference for the achila time, then that means that you also can eat all night long. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, no, you can't eat all night long. The only point of mentioning the end of the time was that at that moment it becomes nos. Omer Baba, look, let's try to understand what's happening here. They're not arguing, really, about what happened. The historical facts are clear. Everyone agrees that the Torah views Geulat Mitzrayim as starting from the night, as we saw earlier. Because we discussed, in terms of Ma'ariv and Tzmichat Geulat Tfilah, we discussed already the Mismach Locus, whether we view Geulat HaErev as being important in terms of Geulah, important enough to lead to Rabbi Yochanan's Pesach, which you have to be Masvek Geulat Tfilah, the Arvit, as well. Yeah? So, everybody agrees, and it says in a pasuk, "Hotziacha Hashem Elokecha miMitzrayim laila." It says in the Pharisee. The question is like this: when were they yotze? Everybody agrees about that too. Kishi yatzu lo yatzu ala biyom. Shneimar mimochorat haPetach. The next morning, yatzu b'nei Yisrael b'yad Rama. So amanech leku. What's the machlokus? The machlokus is, in fact, how to explain that word chipazon in the pasuk which Rabbi Akiva used as the linchpin of his approach. It says chipazon. If you're supposed to be eating it b'chipazon, it means that the whole intent of the achila is let's get the suda done in time to leave. So that means that you have until the time you're leaving to get the suda done. And that means until the morning. And this is the machlokes. What does chipazon mean? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you know what chipazon means? Chipazon doesn't mean when you were rushing. Chipazon means when the mitzvim were rushing to get rid of you. When did the pressure start building to get out of here? As soon as Makat Bechorot came, they absolutely panicked, the mitzvim. So they started coming and they're yelling, get out, you wanted to get out, why aren't you leaving already? And of course, that's Moshe Rabbeinu's response to Stan. What are we, a bunch of avodim? We get out when we're ordered to get out. When we're comfortable, we'll get out. You know, so, but meanwhile, the chipazon has begun, and that you were told to eat the Korban Pesach so that it should be preparatory to the Geula. The expression of the Geula was the fact that as far as the mitzvim are concerned, they couldn't wait till you left. Obviously, you're no longer Mishabadim to Mitzrayim. Rabbi Akiva Sava, but why would that be called chipazon vis-a-vis the Yisrael? Chipazon must mean chipazon to Yisrael, meaning when I'm in a rush. Right now, the whole point was to show the mitzvah. Sorry, we're in the middle of a meal, please. Come back tomorrow morning when we're ready to discuss it. So there, we call chipazon the morning. Tanyanami Haki, indeed, the Braita that was based on the other pasuk, is also has the same idea. It says, so the Braita explains, why do you say laila? So obviously it was the next day in the morning. Laila means that indeed there was a yetziyah be'erev, but a yetziyah that wasn't expressed in terms of physical position, but was expressed in terms of the complete relinquishment on the part of Mitzrayim of any notion of being mishabik b'Yisrael. Once we're on the topic of geula and the process of the yetziyah, we want to understand why it was that at that time that you're in the middle of this chipazon, you're supposed to be speaking to the neighbors and asking if you could borrow their Jaguar for a brief trip in the Midbar. Of course, in those days, it really was a Jaguar, but that's okay. So, Daber Nabaz Me'ashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells Moshe, please speak to them. What do you mean, please? How come all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pleasing? I mean, he's been telling everybody what to do until now, and all of a sudden he's pleasing. So what's the please? Indeed, it means please. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds himself in a position of supplicant over here. Because, look, I mean, he's telling Moshe, do me a favor, please, you've got to persuade them that they should go borrow the neighbor's car, okay? Tell them also, please. It's important to me. Shalumi Mitzrayim click case of the place Av. Why? Because you know what's going to happen if you don't do this. So what's Avram Avinu going to say? What they always say about me. Shalom Yomar Otot Tzadi. Sure, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me Vavadun Vinu Otam. He sure made certain that would happen. But the second part where he said Achrechen Yetzur Brachush Gadol, somehow that got forgotten. So therefore it's up to you to make sure that, I mean, I have the whole thing arranged. All you got to do is ask. If you ask, they'll give it to you. So the Vavadun Vinu Otam Kiyem Behem. But the last part, the Acharechen Yetzur Berachush Gadol, Loki Abraham, typical. That's what they're going to say about me. So therefore, I ask you to please make sure that doesn't happen. And of course, the reason that it's so difficult to get people to do this is because their first response to Moshe was, Amrulo, forget, what a jaguar, just get me out of this place. Levi Shenei Tzei Batzveinu, Levi, we should get out of this place. Stop worrying about what's going to be now with my bank accounts. It's Mashallah Adam Shayach Avush Bebet Asurim. This guy is sitting there on death row, you know. There he is in the dungeon. So they slip him a note. Oyomilo Bnei Adam. We're going to make a big jailbreak. Just another 24 hours. Not only that, we're going to break the safe, and we're going to take out the money. So we're going to wait to get you out. No, they look like I'm on our bay. So what's the guy's response? Can you do me a favor? Can we just leave now? Forget the safe. So therefore, to look at the situation with equanimity, and to say that, look, the whole point of the geula is, we're not in any rush to get out. You're the guys that are in a hurry. We're not in a hurry. So if you're in such a hurry, why not facilitate matters a little bit? You know, a couple of automobiles, and maybe some supplies, pack it up nicely, we don't want a problem in our backpacks, and so on. When you got everything ready, we'll leave. And that's what the attitude has to be. So please, get them to understand that this is the way to do it. Vayash ilum. So Amar Rav Ami, melamit shehish ilum baal kokam, it's a lashon of hifil. It's not a lashon of v'shalum. No, vayash ilum means they got them to lend. So what does that mean? That's not clear. Economic Baal Korcham de Mitzrayim. The portion of Pshat is that Vayashilum, they forced them into a position in which they would lend them the car. Vikadabami Baal Korcham de Yisrael. Others say no. It means that it was Moshe Rabbeinu forced Bnei Yisrael to take the things that the Mitzrayim were given. So Mandi Yom Baal Korcham de Mitzrayim says, look, it says in the Pasuk in Vat, Bayit Chalek Shalal. What was that shalal? Shalal is the spoils of war. That means, obviously, they weren't giving it to you. They were looking at it as basically being the pillage of the country. Repeat that.
The pillage of the country.
Excellent. Ooh. The pillage of the country. There we go. I didn't say it, but I So if it was pillage, then it was vayash ilum. That means they forced them into it. Man yama bal korcham di Yisrael mishum masui. Why would the Jews want to carry all of this garbage? And what do we do with it? Exactly. So because of that, they actually didn't want to take it. Moshe said, look, you got no choice. Vayenatzlu et Mitzrayim. There's two ways. We could look at that vayenatzlu as simply meaning, as the Targum says, vayiroknu, they emptied them out. So what would that mean, emptied them out, in terms of what? The point is, you have to look at Mitzrayim in terms of being the center of civilization as a trap. The center of civilization is always a black hole because all the money is basically siphoning into there. Right? It's not anybody wants it to go there. I mean, if there was a way they could get rid of getting the dollars going to the Americans, they would. Right? Okay, but the point is that when you're a leading civilization, that's where everything ends up. So it's really, you have to look at it as a trap. And now what they did is, by not slew, every trap has bait. They took away the bait. So they made a trap, but there was no Dagan in the trap any longer, and therefore there was nothing attractive about Mitzrayim at this point. People started saying, I mean, if they can't control their own population, and their people are rioting on the streets, and they're walking around with signs freedom, and so on, it's all over. So therefore they destroyed the concept of Mitzrayim as trap. So this would be a bird trap, actually, where you put Dagan, they used to use glue. The bird would come to get the Dagan, the wings would get stuck to something, and then you could shech the bird, unless, of course, those of you who learn Chulin will remember Rabbi Yonah's approach to shechin Yonah, which was that he used kosher Ashkita arrows. You know, just check them as they were flying across night, so that way it would be kosher. But otherwise, hunting birds is a problem. So they would use a trap. Whereas the other approach is to actually darshan the word vayinatzlu. Vayinatzlu we could read as coming from the same word as mitzula. Now the mitzula means the deeper parts of the ocean where sunlight doesn't penetrate. So it's mitzulot. You have very little light in the area of the ocean which is dark like that, unless you're all the way on the bottom where you have other sources of energy. You know, like deep sea vents and so on. But in the middle, where there's no photosynthesis, you don't have fish because there's no food chain. So asu kibitzula sheinva dagin. The way to look at it is that they made it vayinatzlu like the mitzulot. So Rashi explains there's simply no nourishment available in the deeper layers of the ocean. Because of that, we use mitzula as a wipeout. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, now that we're talking about the conversations between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe, and how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to approach it, and how he did approach it, there was another little bit of a misunderstanding, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, tell Klal Yisrael, if they ask my name, I shall be what I shall be, which we know is one of the Shemas Hashem, What does that refer to? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, Lechem Olam Yisrael, Ani Hayiti Ma'achem B'Sh'ibud Zev, Ani Hayimachem B'Sh'ibud Malchiyot. You can trust me. Every time there's going to be all of these tzoras, I'll always be there. So, what do they got to know from a tzoras for? They're in the middle of the tzoras. So look, you can't. Well, let's handle them one at a time. What do you got to tell them? They got to be prepared for tzoras in the future. Okay, fine. So lechem olam ek yeshulachan yerushim. Forget about the asher ek yeh. That'll get them upset. Okay, so just tell them my first name, not my last name. Aneni Hashem, Aneni. Omer be'avu loma amar liyo. This brings us all the way back to the beginning of the sugya, which was the value of the various tvilot biyichud. We started by saying lo'olam yizaher adam b'tvilat hamincha. Aneni Hashem, Aneni. Why did he say shtei pa'amim? Malamit shamari liyo lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ribono shel olam. Aneni sheteireid eish ben hashamayim v'tuchal kol asher al hamizbeach. And then aneni shetasiar da'atam. We just get them thinking about something else, maybe, like their paychecks. G'day shelo yomer, they shouldn't figure out a way to get out of it. Because, of course, their first response will be, so he had it all wired up. So they'll say, it's ma'asek shafimim. We see that Leo says, basically, you can play games with human perception, right? So, I mean, I know there's no way in the world that I can actually persuade anybody by doing these little tricks, but at least don't let them think it was basic shopping. We've waited a long time for this moment, Sabotage.
Here
we go. So we've done Arvit. What is the time that we can begin reading Kriyat Rabbi Shacharit? Mishi Akir Ben Tchelet L'Lavan. The basis of that, using Tchelet, clearly is not a coincidence. It has to do with Chelet of Tzitzit. And indeed, the Gra points out that the Kriya of the third parasha, which is not really part of Kriyat Shema, except the Rabbanan added it to be Yitzhat, it wanted to be Maskif, Yitzhat Mitzrayim in Kriyat Shema. But the thing is, Uri Temoto, which is a reference to Tzitzit, goes together with the Kol Mitzvot Hashem, and over there, the Gemara Darshan's in Benachot, that that's a reference to Kriyat Shema. So that means that their Tzitzit references Kriyat Shema. Therefore, we understand, says the Gra, that Chelet in Tzitzit has to be part of the dinim of Kriyat Shema. So the time of Kriyat Shema is Re'item. When you see your Tzitzit, which is Chelet, then you say Shema. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, well, it's Chelet, but I mean, to tell the difference between Chelet and Lavan, you can do that at night.
You can do that at night.
Right, because you don't, even though you don't have color vision at night, but all you can tell the difference in the intensity of the light.
Fluorescent light, you'll do it every time.
Rebbe said, therefore, if you want to get into a time in which you need light, then you have to talk about two colors, not the difference between white and some grayscale at night, which is still Chelet. Therefore, take two colors that are similar, Chelet and Kartis. You have a blue-green and a green. And then you can read. Ad, Karti is like a leak. Ad, ha Netzach HaMa. You continue to read until Netzach HaMa. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you keep going. Ad, Shalosh Shaot. She came derech melachim la'amod b'shalosh Shaot, because people in the Rosh Hashanah, the middle of Shir, that's when you call. It's 9:30 already. It's not 9:30. No, we finish at 9:30. Boy, you scared me. I thought it was really over the time. Talk to you later. So, here we had a machlokas, if you recall. Rashi earlier says the royal family sleeps at shalosh shaot, at least till the beginning of the third hour. According to Rashi, at shalosh shaot means until the third hour, not until 3 o'clock. Whereas, according to the other Rishayim, at shalosh shaot means that it's until the end of the third hour, 3 o'clock, which is usually the way we refer to shalosh shaot. However, when it comes to the previous sugya, we have a problem. Because in the previous sugya, where did we have that? Kadmuay nai ashmorot, means that there has to be two ashmorot after chatzot, which is 8 hours. So, if you hold, there's only three mishmarot, you only end up with 6 hours. So how in the world could you say, so the terrace to that was that 2 hours came derech malachim at shalosh shaot, which is clear raya. But it's got to mean only until the beginning of the third hour. I would explain that gemara. But those rishonim explain that when it says b'nei malachim are at shalosh shaot for kriyat shema, there's two questions over here. What time do you wake up? And how long do you spend in bed getting up? There's also a question. So you get up. Okay, so you press the snooze button, and I don't want to really get up now. And then you press it again, and maybe listen to the news, turn on a CD. This is only for royalty.
Drag yourself to sheer.
Drag yourself? Drag.
Exactly.
That must be royal blood.
That explains a lot of things. So therefore, there's two issues. In terms of David HaMelech saying, you know, I woke up early. Otherwise, I would have woken up 8 hours later. That's true. And then the Shiloh, but you're still waking up. It's a slow process of waking up. So Bikumecha would mean until, indeed, the end of Shalosh Shas. It wouldn't be a steer then. HaKore Mikan Ve'elech Lo Yitzid. Look, I mean, you don't lose reading after that. Ke'adam HaKore BaTorah. And we'll see what that's supposed to mean. It certainly doesn't sound like much of a Kiddush. I mean, what would mean? Somebody would say, well, better not read it. What's the problem reading Kriyat Shema? By the way, we said earlier that there seems to be some fundamental connection between Kriyat Shema and Limud Torah v'Klal, correct? So here is another indication. Ke'adam HaKore BaTorah. Anyway, when you say Ben Chelet Lava, what do you mean? Ilema Ben Givavav De'Amr De'Chivra De'Givavav De'Amr De'Tchalta. You're talking about a spool of thread? Or raw wool, one of which is white, one of which is chelet and has been dyed. You can see the difference between that in the middle of the night. How would you not know that in the middle of the night? Therefore, what it must mean is, bein chelet shabbat lelavan shabbat. You took wool, you dipped it into dye. Now, in the daytime, you can see very clearly variations in the extent of absorption of the dye stuff. But not in the nighttime, you can't see it so clearly. Tosfos says, that's a little bit iffy. Because, I mean, certainly you could have splotches that you would notice at night, too. We need something that's gonna be a standard. I mean, what's a standard? Every time you dye, it's going to be different. Therefore, Tosfos reconnects it back to the issue of tzitzit. And he says, when you wrap your chelet around the tzitzit, you have chelet threads and white threads. And they're very close together. There, to be able to tell the difference between chelet shabba in the tzitzit, in the wrapping, and the lavan shabba, now that's already something else. Obviously, it depends on the tzura of how you do that wrapping. In other words, Tosfos is assuming that the chelet and lavan twists are alternated. is a machloket. And so Rashi sees it as referring to the thread, dye thread. So therefore, it must mean the same one. Tchelet Shabbat Lavan Shabbat. Tani Rabbi Meir Omer, Mishi Yakir Bein Ze'ev LeKelev. You have to be able to tell the difference between the wolf and the dog, as Herbert puts it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Bein Chamor La'arod. You need to tell the difference between an ass and a wild ass. The Chachamim Omrim, Mishi Yira'et Chaviro Rachok Arba Amot V'Yakirenu. Somebody who can recognize his friend at a distance of 4 Amot and know who he is. Tosa says, I mean, there's enough hints in body movements and general maintenance posture. You know your friend is anyway. So he brings the Yerushalmi that says that it doesn't mean literally a friend. It means someone that you know and comes like once a year to Daf Yomi for a few days and so on. So you'd recognize him, but you'd have to see his face before it clicks in. Omer Abuna Alocha Kachirin. Omer Abaya, actually, don't say that as if it's a given. When it comes to tefillin, that's the earliest time you can put on your tefillin, because it has to be part of Ri'iyah. So then it's Kachirin. But when it comes to Kriyat Shema, actually, it's better not to say Kriyat Shema as soon as you can be makir your friend. It's better to wait and say Kriyat Shema the way they do it Vatik. How do Vatikin means people that are specially medaktev and are mentioned, they're anovim, Rashi says, they're humble. People that are responsive not as one-upmanship. People that go out to do mitzvahs, to be holier than thou, are not vatikin by definition, according to Rashi. Which is fascinating. You know, vatikin is not a description of what passes today for mahadrin. Not that there's really a concept called mahadrin at all in halacha. But the idea of vatikin is bedafka to address not the means of the shmira, but the type of people. That's the point that Rashi's making. So if you want to read it kivatikin, it's not kim mitzvato min hamufchar. That's not the point. The point is to read it the way people who correctly are medaktik with mitzvahs, because they're humble and they're sholem and so on. That's the best way to do it. And vatikin you don't remote time on etzachama. It would be better to wait right until the end of the time of Avot HaShachar, so that as you finish Kriyat Shema, the sun is now coming up. The perfect balance there is to be yotzei two issues. Smichut Geula L'Tefillah, which we said all along is very important, so that Kriyat Shema is part of the Geula process, and then to be ready to daven Shachris, which you're only allowed to do at Netzach Hama L'Tefillah. So this way you are Mekayim the perfect balance between the mitzvah of tefillah in exactly its time, and still complete smichut gula the tefillah. Om Rabbi Zera Maikra, Yira'ucha im Shemesh, v'lifnei yareach dor dorim. So Yira'ucha im Shemesh means those who are mekabel v'nei hashchina to be yore, the meira of Malchus Shamayim, should be im Shemesh, together with the Shemesh. When is the meira of Malchus Shamayim? When you say Shema Yisrael, Shema Kena Shema Kha. That's Malchus that we use on Rosh Hashanah, even to be yore, Kain Malchiyut. And lifnei yareach dor dorim, Rashi says is a remez to tefillat hamincha, that you should have lifnei yareach, that according to this man, the Omar, the mitzvah of mincha is to daven it right before Shkia, so that it's as you could begin to see the moon. So here we have now a sugya, which talks about now the chashivut of the din of smichut gu'ula l'tvila in general, and remember that there's two different aspects. One is smichut gu'ula l'tvila bichlal, which would be true even at night, according to the Yochanan. The other is smichut gu'ula l'tvila vis-a-vis innate. That should be b'kederech vatikin. It's important not to confuse the two issues, as the Rishonim point out in the sugya. So heid Rabbi Yossi ben El Yochim, Mishum Kila Kadisha, Tibi Yerushalayim, anybody who is zochet to do that can't be damaged that whole day. Now Tosfos says what he means, but everybody does that. That's the way in which we daven. We say Go'al Yisrael, and then we say Shemona Esrei. Therefore, says Tosfos clearly, it means kol asomech gula l'tefila kivatikin. So in other words, you were able to be mechavein, which is very difficult, especially you don't have a watch, to be able to have exactly the time that you know you're finishing Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael, the instant that the sun pops over the horizon. Now that's a heck of a big deal. Rabbi Zeira, is that so, huh? Well, I can tell you, I've heard a lot of these stories about no damage occurring to a person all day. And I can tell you that B'didi Havayuvda, and I actually did Smechat Gulad Tfila, and I got damaged that day. So Vanan Samchi Ve'itzik, I ended up losing a lot of money that day. All my life. Get out of here, B'mayitzak. What are you calling losing a lot of money? That they appointed you that day as the guy who has to supply the Hadassim for the castle, right? You have to go to the palace. You call that Hezek? That the Amtayet Asel of Emalka? You should have paid money for the schus to do that. That's not damage. You should have been paying money to go have the schus of seeing the king, even though he's not Jewish. So don't use that as an example of Hezek. How do I know that? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo'olam yishtadel adam lorutz likrat malchei Yisrael. A person should run to see a melech. And by the way, lo likrat malchei Yisrael bilvad, el afil likrat malchei akum. You should run to have ischus to see the queen. Shim yiskeh yafin bein malchei Yisrael malchei akum. You want to be able to be zocher bizman Mashiach to know the difference between what was the concept of kvod melachim by the umais and what is kvod melachim for a melech Yisrael. Omalei Rabbi Ilah Ula. Ki ayat al Hasan, Rabbi Ilah talked to Ula, who was making Aliyah, and he said, when you get up there, Eretz Yisrael, do me a favor. She'il b'shalma de Rebron Achiba Ma'amat Kol HaChabura. I want you to know, people don't know what kind of incredible brother I have. His name is Rebrona. Make a big fuss over him when he come up and say, everybody's asking him, Bobo, what's with Agrein Rebrona? I want people to know about him. You should know Adam Gadol. And he's an incredible man. V'sameach b'mitzvot. That shows a real mensch. There was once a time, Zimna Chada, Soma Gula L'Tfila. He was once Zeicher to be Masma Gula L'Tfila. Again, clearly this means in terms of being Mechavi, the moment of Netzachama. V'lo posik chukam mipum ekulim. He couldn't stop smiling the whole day. So a guy like that, a mitzvah means so much to him, deserves that kind of kavod. Okay, tomorrow we'll continue.